top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Midday News for Tuesday, March 21st, in the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andreas concerns that due to the toothless condition of Dominica's Electoral Commission, the DLP regime will try to reject legislation recommended by Sir Dennis Byron. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency say enforcement and removal operations officers held Caribbean nationals among 220 removable non-citizens in a nationwide enforcement effort. And law enforcement prepares for possible violence ahead of indictment of Donald Trump. Barricades are in position around the criminal court in Lower Manhattan, and security has also increased in the U.S. Capitol. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Take a break with a cash loan of $3,000 or more from Courts Ready Cash, and you could win instant prizes of Courts Cash, shopping coupons, gift vouchers, and much more. Pay nothing down and get 30 days to make your first installment. Visit us today with your ID, proof of address, payslip, references, and a job letter, and enjoy hassle-free service, flexible payment terms, and fast approval. Now is the time to do what you love with a loan from Courts Ready Cash. We are ready when you are. Visit us online at readyfinancecaribbean.com or call 448-7655 for more details. Conditions apply.
The assumption that the DLP regime can try to reject any legislation recommended by Sir Dennis Byron may be true, according to Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. He believes Sir Byron has been tacitly criticizing the passive role and lack of activity of the Electoral Commission. Andre believes this is a result of the Electoral Commission's negligence of its responsibilities.
The government can just refuse to enact any legislation based on the reforms proposed by Sir Byron. The fact of the matter is that Sir Byron himself has been implicitly criticizing the function or the work of the Electoral Commission. They have been derelict in their duties. They're the one charged with the responsibility of ensuring that elections are free and fair, of cleaning the voters' list. There was some cynical, bogus interpretation by some senior counsel that the Electoral Commission lacked the authority to clean the list. Pure nonsense. Go anywhere in the Eastern Caribbean and talk that foolishness, they'll laugh you out of their country. It's as simple as that. But the Electoral Commission has succumbed and they have laid prostrate at the feet of the political directorate. That's the problem. Look, we have to look at all this in a much broader context.
Andre continued by pointing out that the integrity of the commission has been undermined. There is no separation between what the Attorney General does and the government's policies, because both institutions were established by the Constitution to maintain a system of checks and balances. He points out that this is about more than just election reform, because the disease is spreading to every aspect of the body.
Look at the Integrity in Public Commission. Is that how the name? Look at every institution of governance in Dominica. The same phenomenon. We have a capture of the integrity or the very soul of these institutions, which have been set out by the Constitution to ensure a system of checks and balances. Look at the AG. I think it was Severin McKenzie said, and he's right, cynically, that the government has their Attorney General. It's not theirs, you know, Gaston. But there's no distinction between what the AG does and the government policies. They're tied and joined at the hip, as if they're Siamese twins. Look at the DPP, Gaston. Same crap. The institutions have been compromised. So we're not just talking about electoral reform. We are talking about the metastasization of the cancer in every part, every joint of the body politic.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito, claims that we cannot allow one man to control our life for many years as Dominicans who believe in our country and as 70,000 free-thinking people. He contends that we must continue to be a free people and defend our institutions and our way of life.
We, the people who believe in the soul of Dominica and believe that we are a free people, and we need to remain a free people, And we cannot allow one man, one individual, through his acolytes, of course, but one individual to capture not only our institution, but now to capture our very lives. And we cannot allow that. We cannot allow that as 70,000 free-thinking individuals to allow one human being to capture our lives for decades.
He contends that since the freedom of Dominicans and the soul of Dominica are at stake in this conflict, it is essential to keep presenting it from the citizens' perspective and to generate emotional energy behind it. Ito asserts that because the population won't get what they want from the DLP, they must continue to tell the story.
And this is what this fight is about. This is about a fight for the soul of Dominica, for the freedom of Dominicans, and we must keep putting it in those terms very clearly to the citizens, to ourselves, and to build emotional energy on that basis. Because we are not going to just simply, Iscariot is not simply just going to give us what we want. We have to own that story. We have to keep owning that story, and this is what this is about.
DFP leader Bernard Ito. Minister for Tourism Dennis Charles stated during the Pace Yachting Festival's cocktail welcoming ceremony on the weekend that the yachting sector had significant potential for expansion. She went on to highlight some of the island's accolades, saying that they are testament of the island's natural beauty, friendliness, hospitality, and the various attractions that make the island special to those who desire to visit.
This is a sector with great potential for growth. As we continue to celebrate the beauty of our island and the joys of yachting, I want to take a moment to reflect on some of the major accolades that Dominica has received. Dominica is home of many great wonders. The Boiling Lake being the first boiling lake in the Western, the only boiling lake in the Western Hemisphere. 365 rivers. The whaling capital of the Caribbean, the dive capital of the Caribbean, the longest Whitey Kubuli trail in the region, the health and wellness capital of the Caribbean, home to the Kalinagos, the indigenous people of Dominica, and we have a rich culture and heritage. Just last week, Time magazine named Dominica as one of the world's greatest places to visit. We have also been featured on CNN, Travel and Leisure, and Forbes' top places to visit list, to name a few. These accolades are a testament to the natural beauty of our island, the warmth of our hospitality, and the many attractions that make Dominica such a special place to explore, ranging from health and wellness to adventure.
Charles went on to say that one of the ways the government has improved the yachting experience is through the establishment of the Small Ships Registry, which makes it easier to register pleasure vessels.
I know many of you who are repeat visitors can agree with me that Dominica is one of the most beautiful islands in the region. One of the ways in which our government has enhanced the yachting experience is through the implementation of the Small Ships Registry, which allows for ease of registering pleasure crafts. This initiative is just one example of our ongoing commitment to supporting the yachting industry and ensuring that Dominica remains a top destination for sailors and yachters from around the world. Over this week, we have a packed itinerary for you, but I am looking forward to the famous potluck, which I heard all about, to share when you come together and bring your own food that we can cook. And I really want to thank you, because I know you're not just here to have a great time. You actually volunteer your time and you have a small project to give back to the community. So clap for yourself.
Tourism Minister Dennis Charles. UWE student Antigua-based Janet Alexis says a street fair will take place on Great Marlboro Street this Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This will be the culmination of Social Work Week, where several social partners have come on board to display their social services. Social Work Week is marked in March to celebrate school social workers across the globe and appreciate their work in helping students achieve academic success. She lists the various partners.
So we have, apart from the social welfare division, where you have the general welfare, you have the child protection unit, you have probation unit, we have FORTUCH, adult education, the HIV unit. We have at least 15 other social partners who will be partnering with us. And to make it more exciting, we have the magistrate's court who will be coming to, you know, just to let the public know and to interact with the public. the proceedings of the court. If you're arrested, the police will be there as well to walk us through when you're being arrested, what happens, or when your children are being arrested, what happens. And we are hoping to have a great time. But most of all, we're having a short ceremony prior to the event and the opening of the event. And we are hoping to have the PAL rep of Rosal Central with us, because the activity will be taking place in her constituency. So we are hoping to have her with us. And after, we will have the street fair.
UWE student, Antigua-based Janet Alexis. Meanwhile, head of the UWE Open Campus, Dr. Kimon Joseph, says she can empathize with the struggle social workers face.
I know how thankless the job is. Sometimes you give a case your whole heart, and in the end is a hump you get in return. Like our Christ, your heart aches and cries as you see the circumstances that some people face. Social workers, you give your time, your talent, and your treasure in order to help people. Sometimes your back is against the wall, and just when you're about to give up, there is a breakthrough. And that is what makes you go back tomorrow, because you are hopeful that each day will bring at least one new breakthrough. We at UWE remain committed to training people in the area of social work. We firmly believe that though you may have the natural talent for something, it is important to seek training in the areas that you are interested in. And so, we offer degrees, certificates, diplomas in social work, as well as diplomas and degrees in youth development work and a diploma in social services. In our continuing and professional education, which is our short courses, we offer introduction to counseling, advanced counseling, counseling victims of abuse, and conflict management.
Head of the UWE Open Campus, Dr. Kimon Joseph. Minister of State in the Ministry of Sports, Oscar George, has told girls of the National Under-16 netball team that the championship, which will commence on Saturday, can have a positive impact on the overall development of sport in Dominica, stating that it gives the much-needed exposure to develop their skills, abilities, and competitive appetite. 12 students will represent Dominica at that championship at the weekend.
And this is why we have been aggressively developing the required infrastructure to support players like you and attract regional competitions. Enablers, I will end by wishing you all the best. You're all ambassadors for the sport of netball. And as ambassadors, we expect a certain level of discipline, a certain standard of behavior from you. Younger players will look up to you, and older players will give you advice, and sometimes they will even critique you. Please take both with humility and improve your game over time.
Minister of State in the Ministry of Sports, Oscar George. Meantime, President of the Dominican Netball Association, Colita Hamilton, has congratulated all the players who made it to the championship.
I'm very proud of you. I look here and I'm excited. Why? Because I see the future of netball right here. I see the future of Dominican netball. I see a future OECS ECCB champion right here. We have our future goal attacks, our goal shooters, our goalkeepers, our goal defense, our centers, our wing defense, wing attacks. Everything is right here. Everybody is right here. So I would just like to encourage you to do the best that you can. Your commitment has paid off. Your practicing has paid off. Your hard work has paid off. And it will continue to pay off, not just in this aspect, but in other aspects of your life.
President of the Dominica Netball Association, Colita Hamilton. As Dominica Football Association Premier League continued on Saturday, Middleham United remained unbeaten, but dropped two crucial points as they played to a 2-2 draw with Bombers at the Benjamins Park. Kimon John Baptist and Josimar Gustav scored for Middleham. Usher George and Tyler George did the scoring for Bombers. Marcellus Booney of Middleham was named man of the match. Central Cooperative Credit Union Adubla made it three wins in as many matches to move to the top of the point standings as they defeated LA Stars 4-1 at the Adubla playing field. Brielle Thomas scored a brace for Adubla, with one coming from Felix Ansem and Savio Ansem. Daron James got the lone goal for LA Stars. Brill Thomas of Dubla was named man of the match. Sports Minister Greta Roberts says 380 uniforms have been procured for Dominica track athletes at a cost of over $40,000. This, she says, will ensure that 12 secondary schools across the islands will benefit through the provision of the kits that will enhance their comfort levels and hopefully lead to enhanced performance. Track and field games commence today at the Benjamin's Park in Portsmouth.
The uniforms will also give them a level of confidence, because when you know you are well dressed for an activity, it makes you feel good. You go on the field ready to play. You're energized. And I think by doing that, it will certainly help our athletes.
Sports Minister Greta Roberts. Meantime, sports coordinator Trevor Shillingford says the low number of students registering for track and field is concerning for the sport.
We are seeing schools registering 5 and 7 athletes to participate in an activity which really calls for individuals. So you have a secondary school with a population of over maybe 400 students, but they are registering only 7 students, where there are 400 students eligible to participate in the meet, but the school can only find 7. That cannot be good enough. And it is not a case where there are no athletes, because we are receiving correspondence from the schools asking us to mark tracks for them in preparation for the inter-house competitions. So I think this is a concern, and we really need to see greater commitment and effort on the part of the schools. Let us give the students every opportunity, every possible opportunity to showcase their skills. We never know where that single opportunity will take the students.
Sports coordinator Trevor Shillingford. And today marks the International Day of Forests 2023, a day that recognizes the crucial role that forests play in sustaining the planet's health and well-being. Minister for the Environment Kosia Frederick says forests are the lungs of our planet, purifying the air we breathe, providing a home to countless species of plants and animals, and regulating the Earth's climate by absorbing and storing carbon dioxide. The theme for 2023 is Forests and Health. He says the government is committed to protecting the forests and supporting sustainable forest practices.
Forests are also a vital source of food, medicine, and other resources that sustain human societies and economies around the world. Yet, despite their importance, forests are facing numerous threats. Deforestation, climate change, and unsustainable practices such as illegal logging are all taking a toll on our forests and the benefits they provide. We must act now to protect our forests and ensure their continued health and vitality for future generations. This means taking a multifaceted approach that includes conservation, sustainable management, and restoration. As individuals, we can all do our part to protect forests, whether it's by reducing our paper consumption, supporting sustainable forest products, or participating in reforestation efforts. Every action we take can make a difference. The Forestry, Wildlife and Parks Division enforces our forest laws and regulations, promote sustainable forest management, and provide incentives for individuals who take steps to protect our forests. Our government is working with partners like the United Nations Environment Program, Partnership Initiative for Sustainable Land Management, UNEP PISLM project. This project, which has given full support for this week of activities and overall project implementation, is very important to us. Today, on International Day of Forests, let us all commit to doing our part to protect and preserve these vital ecosystems. Let us recognize the important role that forests play in our lives and take action to ensure their continued health and well-being for generations.
In other news, the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, agency says officers from its Enforcement and Removal Operations, ERO, have apprehended Caribbean nationals among 220 removable non-citizens during a nationwide enforcement effort. On Friday, ICE said that nationals from Cuba and Trinidad and Tobago were arrested in the immigration sweep between March 4th and 13. Officials identified the non-citizens as having been convicted of crimes such as domestic violence, sexual abuse, sexual exploitation, burglary, unlawful possession or use of a firearm, drug distribution or trafficking, or driving under the influence, or as those who were released from incarceration on parole or placed on community probation under supervision, said ICE in a statement. Our officers continue to focus on smart, effective immigration enforcement that protects the homeland through the arrest and removal of those who undermine the safety of our communities and integrity of federal immigration law, said ERO Executive Associate Director Corey A. Price. And barricades are in position around the criminal court in Lower Manhattan ahead of a possible indictment of former President Donald Trump. Security has also increased at the U.S. Capitol. Robert Koster reports from New York for CBS News.
Good morning, Tony. Trump's Republican allies are now going after the district attorney leading this investigation, all as the protection around this court is on display.
Steel barricades were brought into Lower Manhattan after former President Donald Trump predicted his arrest and called for protests. Inside the courthouse, the grand jury continued its work on Monday, hearing from the potential final witness.
He's totally unreliable.
Attorney Bob Costello, a longtime Trump ally, was brought in to testify about Cohen's credibility. Cohen was Trump's former fixer and a key witness in this investigation.
If they want to go after Donald Trump and they have solid evidence, so be it. But Michael Cohen is far from solid evidence.
It was Cohen who made the alleged hush money payments to Stormy Daniels in the final days of the 2016 campaign. He later pleaded guilty to felony charges related to that payout.
This has many similarities to a mob case for the main witness to have problems, blemishes, even convictions, and it will fall to the prosecution to say, sure, Michael Cohen has some issues, but here is why you can believe him.
Many House Republicans are defending the former president and are calling on New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg to submit testimony on what they call a politically motivated prosecutorial decision.
Some bookkeeping error from 7 years ago is misdemeanor is now what they're going after. So it makes absolutely no sense.
And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a potential 2024 rival to Trump, criticized the DA, but also had this to say.
I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that.
CBS News has learned that an indictment of Trump is not expected today, but could come sometime later this week. Meanwhile, Trump's campaign has been issuing a flurry of fundraising appeals to his supporters.
And that's the news, but first a recap of our headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre is concerned that due to the toothless condition of Dominica's Electoral Commission, the DLP regime will try to reject legislation recommended by Sir Dennis Byron. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency say enforcement and removal operation officers held Caribbean nationals among 220 removable non-citizens in a nationwide enforcement effort. And law enforcement prepares for possible violence ahead of indictment of Donald Trump. Barricades are in position around the criminal court in Lower Manhattan, and security has also increased in the U.S. Capitol. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens.